During Lent, it's not uncommon that on TV, you would find that they would annually show the famous Cecil B. DeMille movie, The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston as Moses. One of my favorite movies and an all-time classic. It's interesting, though, to think that that movie, which is the epic story of really most of the book of Exodus, and of all the things that happen in that movie, that the title would be The Ten Commandments. It's saying that that's the most important part of that whole movie. And it's interesting because it's just a small moment when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. But what a significant moment that is. In fact, the Ten Commandments would later be expounded and added to, and eventually there would come to be 613 commandments in the law. And to all that, imagine that the people are thankful. We see in our psalm today that the psalmist is singing in praise of God's law. Sweeter are your laws, Lord, than syrup, than honey from the comb. 613 rules, and the psalmist is rejoicing. I wonder how many of us look at God's laws and say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for giving us so many wonderful rules. I think in many ways, God is right when he tells us that we need to become like children, that we have to be humble to enter the kingdom of heaven. But there's some ways in perhaps which it is better not to be like children. I don't know too many children who would say to their parents, oh, mom and dad, thank you so much for all your rules. I can see in your rules your great wisdom. You do not restrict my freedom. You want me to be happy, and that's why you give me all these rules. Thank you, mom and dad. Now, maybe that blessed day will come, parents, but probably it's more like, I hate you. Why do you do this to me? You just make me unhappy all the time, and you don't want me to have any fun. That's probably more what parents are likely to hear from their kids. But theoretically, they grow up, and it's amazing how the older children get, the smarter their parents seem to get. But God uses, certainly, our family experience to try to teach us something, hopefully. And that is that if we can see the way parents love their children, God is the most perfect parent. God is our Father who loves us. So when we receive God's commandments, sometimes specific, like the Ten Commandments, we would call that positive law. Things that God positively reveals and says to us, do this, don't do that. But also what we would call the natural law, the law written on our hearts by God. How do we see all these rules? In fact, sometimes Christians and the Catholic Church especially get accused of, well, there's so many rules. Is that really a bad thing? Probably any parent would know that if they tell their child, if you play in the street, you will be in big trouble. Now, the kids could decide, well, I'm free. I don't have to listen to my parents. And I'm going to play in the street. And pretty soon you get smacked by a car and you're no longer free. You're in the hospital. We recognize that when parents give their children rules, they're not restricting their children's freedom. Rather, they're giving them these lines to grow by, so that they can grow to be happy and healthy and not make mistakes that will ultimately wreck their lives. We recognize that as parents. Can we then see that that is the way God ultimately deals with us? What is your image of God? Do you read the things that God asks of us and say, oh, a tyrant, he's trying to keep us down? If I were to follow all the laws that God gives us, how many times do we think I would be unhappy? You know, maybe I would get to heaven and then I could be happy, but if I follow God's laws, this life will be miserable. It'll take away all the fun. It's a very sad image of God. Rather, God wants us to know that he is our Father who loves us, and his rules are really just fatherly instructions for our happiness. You know, there's kind of an analogy that I like to use that was taught to me, and it's been handed on. So if you hear it, it's not original for me. But if you can think of God's rules kind of being like the owner's manual a little bit, maybe for a car, let's say. Let's say that you, in your freedom, maybe save up your money. Maybe you're, let's say, in college, and you can imagine the college student that's working so hard to save up money to have a job and to get that car. And finally, you have worked and worked and worked, and you've got that car. And in your freedom, you go out and live the American dream and say, this is my money, I'm going to buy this car. And in that beautiful moment of freedom, you go off and you drive your car. And pretty soon, you realize that the gauge is going from F to E. And it's time to put some gas in the car. And you pull into the gas station. And there you read, as you pop your gas tank, that it says, unleaded fuel only. And you look at the pump and you're saying, unleaded fuel costs $4 a gallon. That's crazy. I'm not doing that. This is my car. Who's to tell me unleaded fuel only? That's expensive. I'm not putting unleaded fuel in my car because I'm free. I am independent and this is my car. Therefore, I will instead put green Kool-Aid in my gas tank. Well, you in your freedom are certainly free to do that, and you can put green Kool-Aid in your gas tank. But pretty soon, you will have a broken car, and it will not go anywhere. And then you can ask yourself in your freedom, am I more free now or less? And probably we'd all admit, you now have a broken car, and you are less free. That little instruction, simple as it is, unleaded fuel only, doesn't restrict your freedom. It tells you this is the way the car's made. This is how it's meant to work. If you follow the instructions, your car will work the way it's supposed to. If you don't, you become less free. My dad is one, when he gets something new that might be electronic or complicated, maybe like a car, he likes to figure out how it works by just kind of trial and error. He'll press buttons and, you know, right about this morning, I'm probably going to get a call from him saying, hey, my clock is an hour off in the car. Can you fix it? Because he doesn't read the owner's manual. Now, Dad, if you're listening to this, fast forward this part. I have to be careful because parents listen to these things on the internet. So the point is, you got to read the owner's manual. And if you do, it's not going to restrict your freedom. It'll actually make you more happy and able to use your car better. I'll get in the car and I'm like, ooh, new car. I'll read the owner's manual. And then I'll be like, hey, Dad, you know, the rear windshield's fogging up. Let's turn on your rear window defrost and kick on your wiper. He's like, whoa, I've got a rear window defroster? Yeah, and a wiper too. Wow, how'd you find that out? I read the owner's manual. It says it right there. You know, how many times would we, you know, just kind of ignore also maybe God's owner's manual for our life? God has created us, and that natural law that he writes on our hearts is kind of like the owner's manual. God made us, just like a manufacturer of a car would know what makes a car goes best. God knows what makes us go best. And that's why he gives us all these rules, these laws, the Ten Commandments, and all those other things the church asks of us. It's not that God wants to restrict our freedom. It's rather that he made us, and if we follow his laws, we will be happy. The opposite is also true. If we decide in our freedom, I don't have to follow God's laws, I don't have to do that, we will be miserable. We will be unhappy, because God knows that ultimately all the commandments are for our good, just like any parent would give their children commandments for their good. So I think we've really got to take stock of what's our image of God. Do we look at God's rules and kind of say, I don't have to do that, I'm free? How many of us right now find that our lives are not fulfilled, that we're sitting there not happy, even though we constantly chase after 1,000 different things that we think will make us happy? Have we taken the time to sit down and read the owner's manual? And that's certainly the scriptures, the Bible, the catechism of the church. But it's also just sitting in prayer with God and saying, God, reveal your will to me. Then we too might could sing with the psalmist about the beauty of God's law. That's how come we're able then, when we find the truth, we're able to say, now I see, although I was blind. We pray that this Lent, we might, all of us, do whatever it takes to kind of set that time aside to get to know our owner's manual, to know how God made us, that in any ways maybe we have falsely seen God as some tyrant trying to take away our fun, that we might truly repent of that we might tell God, I love you and I trust you. I trust that you want what is good for me. Reveal your law to me, and I will follow it. If we do that, not only will we have found that we have turned away from sin, but rather we will find a new freedom that we've never known. Freedom to truly love God and trust him, but freedom that comes just from following the way we were designed. After all, that natural law on our hearts is our heavenly owner's manual. Let us do our best this Lent to take it out of the glove box and maybe give it a read.